The Old Testament reading is from Numbers chapter 11, chapter 10, and 24. Now the rabble that was among the children of Israel had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat! We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their clans, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you dealt ill with your servant, and why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give them birth, that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing child,' to the land that you swore to give their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they wept before me and say, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once, if I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men at the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eladad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eladad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from James 5. "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidenced against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your heart in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth, or by any or other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Written that you may believe. Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil for me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he be thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. And we join together and recite the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated, and we have another hymn to be chosen. 809 from Luther, from the Luther service book. 809.
Compassion, they fail not. thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Thy hand hath provided, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is taken from Mark 9:42. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and be thrown into the sea. That will be our text in the name of Jesus, dear Christian friends. I want these words not only to apply to the little ones, but to all of us. Because all of us can do things at times, and maybe things like that have happened here too, where somebody says something, and because of that, those people then are no longer members of the church. So let us begin. Well, do you remember your childhood? That may be a long time ago for some of us, right? Too many years to count. My wife sitting there, she grew up on a little farm in Illinois. And she has a lot of memories about growing up there as we gathered in Missouri with her three brothers. And I just sat there and listened. Well, I remember my childhood very well. I hope you do too. I had a good childhood. Not that everything was just so right, but most of it was right. I grew up in a pastor's home. My dad was a pastor in rural Nebraska near the city of Beatrice. And there I had the joy to attend a little school named 103L. The L stood for Lutheran. And that was good. In that school, I was taught about God. I was taught about Jesus. I was taught about His love, His forgiveness, and all that He has done for you and for me. In that little schoolhouse, two-room schoolhouse, I was taught Bible history. And I just loved Bible history. From the creation all the way through the end times. And then you had a chronology of how the Bible stories took place. It was a good life for me. And this is what is all important. Nobody, no adult, said anything to me or did anything to me that would have caused me to fall from the faith. That was never a part of the game. Rural life in Nebraska in the 50s was so different for the life of children today. One of the big differences, of course, was they had just American cars, right? Chevys and Fords and Studebakers and Packards and all those good cars. And nowadays, we have everything under the sun. In those days, all children of the congregation, all of the children of that church attended that school. It was a parochial school. It was a Lutheran school. And they believed in Christian education. They believed in what the Bible said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Well, God's ways are good. And what does God do? You know, a lot of people think that God's pretty dumb. He's a dummy. They don't think much of Him. They don't think much of God's Word. They ridicule God's Word. But God knows exactly what He's doing. And what did He do? He says, "Now look, here's a daddy and here's a mama. And they are married and they bring children into the world. And they bring children into the world and they bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They are to teach their children from the beginning of life to the end of life. Because Jesus..." You know, we get a... Did you hear the news about they think that there's going to be all kinds of shortages for Christmas? You're not going to be able to buy a present or a gift for anybody? Did you hear that? I hope it's not true. But maybe things will be in shortage. You're not going to be able to buy a gift for your loved one. But Jesus wants to give us the best gift of all, and there's nothing that's going to stop that. He wants to give us heaven. And that's as good as it gets. It doesn't get any better than that, the gift of eternal life. Well, the world has changed. Country has changed. Yeah, from a little two-room schoolhouse, and I drove by some of the schools today, multi-million dollar buildings. Huge basketball courts. Our basketball court was outside, played on in the dirt, outdoor bathrooms. Maybe some of you remember that. Outdoor bathrooms, yeah, that's as good as it got. And, well, talk about the bigness of the football fields. Sometimes because of all of these things, the one thing needful is left on the back burner. Not that these things are wrong in themselves, the good schools, the big schools. But when you forget about what really is important, then something is so wrong. Last night, I usually don't do this. How many of you watched OU? Come on, fess up. Yeah. All the way through, holding your... I usually don't watch it. But I was totally mystified by West Virginia. I don't think they're very smart out there, because they sure made a lot of mistakes. But anyway, I looked, and that stadium was totally full. Totally. I don't know how many people were there. 100,000? It was full. My question would be, I wonder how many of them are in God's house today. Probably very, very few. Many, many people are taking the word of the Lord and put it aside, and they live just for the things of this world. And that is not right. Let me share a little verse with you. I like little verses. Here it is. Of all the days that's in the week, I dearly love but one day. And that's the day that comes between a Saturday and a Monday. So you know what that day is. Sunday, God's day. Our text for today is a powerful text. You don't mess with God. You just don't mess with His Word. His Word is all important. I got to brag about my little great-great-grandchild. I'm at that age now, you know. I'm only 45. But anyway, we were at our son's place. He lives in Tulsa. And then our granddaughter and her husband from Wichita were there. And they have a little guy by the name of Ezekiel. And he's a year and 4 months. Now, that's not very old, is it? Did I get that right? I got it right. Okay. And it was time to eat. And time to pray. And that little feller, he sat there and he folded his hands. Daddy and Mama were teaching that child about thanking God for the blessings of food. I don't know if he understood it, but he did it. The beginning of teaching that child about the ways of the Lord, teaching that child about Jesus, teaching that child about being thankful for all of the things that God gives to us each and every day. So you have a child, and then the job begins of bringing those children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. How often does it happen? And, you know, you look at statistics of our church and our synod, and they'll say how many children were baptized in a year. And then they will give the statistics of how many of those children will be confirmed in a given year. Guess what? A lot of those baptized children are not confirmed. What are Daddy and Mama doing? They are forgetting. They are neglecting God in His church. And does that take faith away from the child? Well, I think so. You know, this business of saying, hey, if you don't go to the church on Sunday morning, oh, it's okay. No, it's a sin. It's a sin. I think we all know the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You know, that's what you do. And if you disobey that commandment, it's sinning. you are sinning against God. You are sinning and taking away something that is all important for you, for your children, or whoever it may be. Well, what does God want? He wants the best for each and every one of us. He wants the best for children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, fathers and mothers and grandpas and grandmas. God's love reaches out to each and every one of us, whether we're 5, 10, 50, 60. Do we have any 90-year-olds here? 80-year-olds? God loves each and every one of us. Isn't that nice? He does. And he wants what is best. He wants to give us that gift, like I said, the gift of heaven. And let me tell you, you know, we go to the store and we buy a gift, we throw down a $10 bill and we got the gift and then we give it to somebody. That's no big deal. But for God, for Jesus to give us the gift of heaven, he went through hell. He went through hell for you and for me. He did it all. Everything. Came as a baby. Came into this world just like you and me. He became a man. He was sinless. He never did anything wrong. And you know, you can understand taking somebody who's doing everything wrong day in and day out. It's not so bad to do in great harm, bodily harm. But here was a guy who never did anything wrong. And you do him great bodily harm. He did all things perfectly well. And he knew what was waiting for him. The cross. You know, I think if I knew I was going to be in a place where somebody was going to kill me, I'd start running in the other direction. I think you would do the same. But not Jesus. He had a mission of love, a mission of love to fulfill for you and for me, and he died for every one of our sins, every one. And because we are forgiven children of God, heaven is our home. Well, I could say amen now, but we better not forget about that millstone. That millstone, a great big stone, huge stone, used to grind grain, make it into flour or whatever. Now, you know, how often does it happen? Since you don't know but anybody in Skiatook, you know, there was a guy there and I just liked him real well. And all of a sudden, I didn't see him anymore. What happened to him? Why did he quit coming? I know why he quit coming. Somebody said something or did something. Now, I'm not excusing the guy, but so often it happens where something is said and the person's feelings are hurt. And then they do what they shouldn't do. They quit coming to worship. And so when someone is responsible for causing someone to lose their faith, to fall from the faith, hey, it's millstone time. And there's no way of getting away from a millstone around your neck. Thrown into the sea. And because you have caused someone to lose their faith in Jesus. And that's about as serious as it can get. And we never, never want to do that. We live in a very modern world, do we not? I have a daughter and her husband. He's a pastor in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's got a big old church there. I mean, it's huge. It's huge, uptown church. And our granddaughter had a baby. and the baby was being baptized. And so we watched it. What do you call it, streaming? Yeah, unreal. They had a big baby, a 9-pound baby, and she's just a little old tyke. But how wonderful it was to watch that baby to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God did his job. God did his job right. And then it becomes the job of parents. And may God bless each and every one of us as we continue to serve him, as we continue to love our Lord and Savior Jesus. And may God bless this congregation as it continues to serve one another in love, so that this congregation may strive and be strong in their faith. And may each and every one, whether you're a wee little tot or get up there in ripe old age, continue to be raised up in love and service by one another. God bless you to that end. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.